Hey everyone, this is Achyut Bhava from Nightlight Astrology, and today we are going to take a look at Jupiter's conjunction with Neptune, which is finally perfecting today. This is the second live stream that I've done, did one yesterday, and we've been talking about Jupiter and Neptune's conjunction for a little bit now, so I'm really excited about this. I'm going to go ahead and play a countdown so that we give a chance for everybody to stream in, and then we'll get started. Give a chance to let everybody stream in. Hope you guys are having a good day and that you're excited for Jupiter's conjunction with Neptune. It feels like one of those special celebratory days for nerdy people like us who are into astrology. So I'm really excited to be going live with all of you. In the chat box, please tell me where you're coming from. Where are you tuning in from in the world out there? Love to get some roll call. I see someone from Minnesota. And let's see here, from Honolulu, and there we go, scrolling down, from Chicago, from Michigan, from France, West Virginia, St. Louis. Is it your birthday today? Wow, that's really cool. That's awesome. Happy birthday to Melissa. That's awesome. Coming in from Montana, California. Whoa, all the way from India. Wonderful. Welcome. From Maryland, vacationing in Virginia right now. That sounds great. San Diego. Some people coming in from Colorado Springs. So I just love seeing where everybody's coming from. Wow, check out this one. Good evening from Sudan. That's amazing. It's so cool. For me, you know, just seeing that that there's some kind of international audience is always just like, that's incredible. Very cool. I love this one too. Cape Town, South Africa. Amazing. Indiana, San Antonio. Hello from Finland. New York City. Awesome. So thank you guys for being here. Really excited. Obviously today, Jupiter is conjoining Neptune in Pisces. It's exact today, so it's like our party day. But before we dive into that, I want to remind you guys of a few things. First of all, if you're new to the channel, I appreciate your like and subscribe and click the notification bell for updates when I go live like this. Leave comments. That all is, you know, the little things you guys can do to help me grow the channel and the audience. Really appreciate that. Also, I every day, transcripts of my daily talks can be found usually about 24 hours later on my website, which is nightlightastrology.com. So if for some reason you want the transcripts of my talks, that's where to find them, on the blog page. You can get that at nightlightastrology.com. My sale on the first year, all of my online courses ended yesterday. So I was happy to see some people got to take advantage of that. That made me feel good, because I know some people kind of felt like they missed out on the Kickstarter, which is the only time that I run that particular sale during the year. So, but I want to point you to some other options that you still have to join. So this is my website, nightlightastrology.com. My new class is called Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic. It's a one-year program. It starts in June. And if you click on the courses page of my website, nightlightastrology.com, and then you go to the first year course, you can learn all about it. It's a class that I'm really proud of. There's thousands of students have come through my program at this point. And over the course of a year, you're going to learn about the roots, both philosophically and practically, of ancient astrology. And so traditional astrology, by definition, is a little bit more predictive in nature. You're learning some of the tools of prediction and chart delineation from a predictive standpoint, being able to describe elements of destiny and fate, make really accurate predictions about character and destiny. But because my background is also in modern psychological astrology, in this program, you also get a really big dose of, you know, how to talk to people about character, how to talk to people about the way the astrology is reflected in our inner lives, in our behavior, in how we understand ourselves. So I call the class Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic because it's a blend of ancient, you could say, karmic analytics, you know, kind of predictive astrology with modern archetypal and psychological astrology. The course includes 30 online webinars, 12 guest teachers outside of those 30 classes, so 42 total. We also have a really lively group forum discussion with paid tutors that are on my staff that are there to help answer your questions. There are breakout study and tutoring sessions in between major units of study. Those are also outside of the 30 classes on the year. So by the time it's all said and done, you have about as much support and help and in-depth study of ancient astrology as you can imagine. And for some people, that's going to be, you know, you're going to take all of it. And for some people, you're going to just show up for the classes because this is not, you know, it's not something you're trying to do professionally. So it's also catered to people who may have different intentions for taking the class. I would love to have some of you in the class. You'll scroll down at the bottom. You'll see the normal early bird rate is now in effect. So it's still a good deal. It's not quite as good as the sale that was running for the past week. But if you missed out on that, you can still get the early bird payment. And then also, this is the big thing. We have tuition assistance for people who can't afford the program. So if you're looking at it and you're going, you know, I'm a single parent, or I'm in school, or, you know, I only work part-time, or I've had some kind of financial hardship, I'm receiving disability, I'm retired on a fixed income, whatever the situation may be, I never want people to be priced out of studying a spiritual science. And so check out tuition assistance if you're someone who has the time and the love to commit to a course like this, but for whatever reason may not be able to afford it. The tuition assistance allows you you can apply for it and pick within a donation, sort of like a donation-based range that we suggest for your monthly tuition. And that usually makes it pretty affordable for people. So please check out the tuition assistance. Maybe someone's like, oh, I love that sale, but you know, even that was too much for me. I get it. People are at different places. So, you know, don't feel like you can't study if it's something you really want to do. If you have any questions about the courses or the programs themselves or anything they include, you can also email us info@nightlightastrology.com. All right. So today we are going to, again, like I said, we're going to be looking at Jupiter's conjunction with Neptune. It's perfect today, so I'm really excited about that. I'm going to go through today. What we're going to do is we're going to take a look at some historical, the last five times that Jupiter conjoined Neptune. What was happening historically? What kinds of events happened around the world? And what can we learn from that, essentially? And then we're also going to take a look at an I Ching reading that I did, asking the question, what can we learn, or what's something to keep in mind considering this Jupiter-Neptune conjunction today? After that, I will open up to do some more live readings. So I'm really excited for that as well. Please, until I ask you to actually put your chart data into the chat box, please don't spam the chat box with your birth data. I'll be asking for that a little bit later. In the meantime, let's see here. In the meantime, I would like very much to hear in the chat box how any experiences, anything you can enter in the chat box that be short and sweet, that is reflective of the Jupiter Neptune dynamic. I'd love to hear your stories. So I'll put some comments like that up on the screen as we go along, if you guys share some of your stories about this transit. Okay. So first of all, when I asked the I Ching this morning for some insight as to what the Jupiter Neptune conjunction might be saying, the hexagram that came back was number 9, unchanging, which means it's just one hexagram reading. And if you don't know, by the way, if you're like, what's the I Ching? The I Ching is an ancient Chinese oracle. It was actually the oldest. The I Ching itself is a text. It's like the oldest of the Chinese classics. And eventually the text, which is kind of a mapping out of the interactions of yin and yang through the cycles of creation, that sequence, that mapping of those interactions through different stages, that would eventually, called hexagrams, those eventually would be used almost like bibliomancy, like you're picking a page in the Bible. I've been saying that about the I Ching for years. It was like, it struck me right away when I, first time I ever heard, oh, this is like an ancient Chinese Bible. And then, I thought, when I was a kid, I used to flip randomly to a page and pull, you know, just like put my finger on a verse. And I was like doing divination with the Bible when I was a kid and I didn't even know it, you know, it's kind of cool. So the I Ching is sort of like that, in that eventually this sacred text gets used for divination. Number 9, gentle restraint, is a really interesting hexagram for a lot of reasons. I mean, it's always the way in which a hexagram is interesting, most interesting, usually has to do with the context in which it's received. Excuse me. So what's so interesting about this hexagram is that this is a hexagram. And here's one translator, I'll just put it up on the screen, who reads it like this. Gentle restraint, sometimes called taming the small powers. And the hexagram says, success. Thick clouds come from the west, but no rain. This situation, and then this is the author's note, or the translator's note, this situation symbolizes the preparation which precedes a new development. One of the most interesting things about this transit is that it's associated with lots of big developments, like Jupiter, Neptune, a big rainstorm, a big flood, a tsunami. You get the feeling of like this big, like a big cloud that's bursting open from heaven. And the way we've been talking about it, at least on my channel, has been in terms of themes like redemption, hope, faith, very uplifting qualities often associated with. Now, it depends on where it's landing in your natal chart and where you're at in life. I mean, it's not like just, you know, unanimously everyone's running out in the street and looking up at the rainbow right now, but it is a pretty uplifting transit. For a lot of people are going to experience some of the more beneficial dimensions of this transit. Just like you might, you know, a lot of people are going to experience the more difficult elements of like a major Pluto transit. So the reason that that's interesting in this case is because this hexagram is really talking about something that's gathering, like clouds gathering, an accumulation that's slowly happening, slowly developing, but no rain yet. So there's a kind of a theme of preparation and small gradual development eventually leading to big success or to some big shift or change, as in the clouds releasing rain, but it's not there yet. And so there's lots of lessons associated with this hexagram, some of which have to do with patiently working on small things that can lead eventually to big things, or the way in which small things lead to an accumulation and become and eventually overflow. But also the way in which things that eventually become big always start with something small. And so that there's just a lot packed in there for a Jupiter-Neptune transit, which many people could, I think, especially since, you know, people like myself probably hype it up too much in some ways, but you get the feeling like some big, magical, amazing thing is going to happen. And actually, it's more about the dream, the vision, the development, the potential, the possibility for something to grow and maybe even permeate your entire life or your consciousness or some area of your life. But it's developmental, it's gradual. There's a few other reasons that this would be the case. One is Jupiter, Neptune are in a water sign. And water signs, being a feminine element, were said to be more gradual and in developing and showing their signs and their results. So feminine signs, like just like the gestation of a child in the womb, takes time, and it's nurtured and developed more gradually in a process relational kind of way. So the feminine signs are relational, they're process oriented, they're more organic and gestational. So just remember, this hexagram is exactly, that's exactly what it's saying about this transit, is that, okay, here we are. It's the day of Jupiter Neptune. Is anything different? Oh, gee whiz. You know, things kind of look and feel the same. And also, some people are going to get some kind of, you know, a dove landing with a, you know, landing with the branch in its beak or whatever, and it's going to pop down and give you a sign, and it's miraculous and amazing, and, you know, feels like the doors are swinging open and everything. But more often than not, what's happening right now is something is going to start gestating, or something is in the process of growing and developing. And it might be very special, uplifting. There's a sense of vision and imagination, something that's compelling us with a sense of hope and some sense of a future we'd like to move toward that's growing in our awareness. Those kinds of things, yes, but developmental, gradual, gestational, relational. Thick clouds come from the west, but no rain. The situation symbolizes the preparation which precedes a new development. So you can also think of it as a seeding. And I thought this would be good for today because I think, I don't want it to be anticlimactic where it's like, yay, and then, okay, what was that? You know, nothing really happened. It's a period. First of all, it's a period of time. Look back. I mean, so many things about astrology. Look back to the dates themselves, right? You've got Jupiter conjunct Neptune in Pisces from March, the end of March through the end of April. We still have an entire month. So I think that that's really important to remember, just that it's all transits are like seasons. So when you're in a Jupiter Neptune conjunction period, you also have to have the ability to reflect upon what's gestating and developing over a long period of time. Anyway, that's the nature of astrology. It's the nature of life, really. I love some of the stories you guys are sharing, by the way. Sugar Free says, I cried on my meditation cushion for the first time in ages this morning. I'm staying indoors. Things feel like they're bursting open. Yeah. And I think another way of looking at it is saying, hey, that's something that's been developing. Whenever the rain cloud does burst, it's because of an accumulation, right? It's because things came together over time. I think that's, that's really worth mentioning. A few other things I'm going to share that you guys have been popping in before we go on. I discovered a partner that will help me finish an art project I've been struggling with for years yesterday. The sun even broke through the clouds at that moment. That's wonderful. And notice something that you've been struggling with for years. So there's an accumulation of something and then a release. And that's very Jupiter Neptune-like. That's cool. Some of these are really fun. Woke up to a wild windstorm, blew open the doors to my art studio. Now I'm picturing every single person like barefoot with tea in some kind of art studio out there. So let's see. My Jupiter Neptune, Mina's Dream Space says, my Jupiter Neptune transit stories are, I committed to personal fitness with a trainer this week, and for business, I finally started talks with a web developer, which to me is a big deal. And web developer, see, there's the thing is, I finally, something that's accumulated, and I finally did something. That's that sense of accumulation and then like an opening or a breakthrough. Something floods through. It doesn't necessarily have to happen today. I just want to make that really clear that it can sort of happen anytime. Barefoot for sure, Susie Gemini says. And Monster Squid says, haha, I'm barefoot with tea on my porch right now, doing some stretches before work. That's awesome. Great. Nice. Let's see here. So, oh, I like this one. This is fun. Holly says, as I'm listening to you now, I'm shopping on Amazon for a trident piece of jewelry to embrace my Neptune as Jupiter is swinging by to rescue me, just like in ancient astrology. That's cool. Let's see here. And Honolulu Wampum says, busting open, exactly. I've been on a panic attack for 12 hours, but I have faith I'm getting better. Finally, darn eighth house. Aw, man. Well, hang in there. We're all sending you prayers for peace of mind and heart and spirit. Take some deep breaths. Try to maybe go for a walk. journal your thoughts and know that, you know, you got an astrological community here who cares about you. And we all hope that you have a much better day today. Maybe Jupiter Neptune will boost you up a little bit. So let's go on. Let's go on. One of the things that's interesting that goes along with this theme of hexagram number 9, gentle restraint, and this the idea of the taming powers of the small things that eventually develop, a small pressure that eventually builds until a breakthrough comes. This is so much in alignment with the way that ancient astrologers looked at Jupiter. Let's take a look at that for a second. Did you know that the 11th house in ancient astrology, which was called the Joy of Jupiter and the House of Good Spirit, was associated with things that gradually build and accumulate until finally the opportunity for their manifestation arrives? Let me show you exactly how this works by sharing my screen. So let's go ahead and take a look at the 11th house right now. And this is so cool. All right. So here is house 11. You can kind of see it there. I don't know why this circle shows up and it just like, it's like a giant's eyeball. All right. Let's chill you out a little bit. All right. Here we go. Here's the 11th house right there. So what's cool about this is I want you to watch what happens as I advance the chart. So if I advance this chart by, let's say, an hour, let's just, maybe two it'll have to be, but let's advance it by an hour. Oh, it'll have to be two. Let's advance it by one more hour. Watch Taurus in the 11th. That you can see the green sign for Taurus. Watch what happens. Oh, it goes up to the 10th. So by virtue of the Earth rotating on its axis and all of the whole signs rotating through the 12 positions called the 12 places, what we now call houses, house 11 in time becomes house 10. So it's called a succedent house because it succeeds the angle. It comes after in succession to become the top of the sky, or what we would might call the midheaven or the 10th whole sign house. So that motion is associated with Jupiter. Isn't that incredible? It's that motion that gets associated with the idea of things growing and becoming bigger in time, or of things manifesting in time. Hopes and wishes and dreams and ambitions for something to grow and blossom, or to realize a dream, a wish, a hope, a desire. That was all associated with the 11th house, which was sometimes called the house of hopes and wishes, of aspirations. It's called the Joy of Jupiter, and is the place in the process of ascending to the 10th. So one of the ways ancient astrologers delineated that house, the 11th, was in terms of things that in time would grow and bless the native, or would grow and come to be manifest, and often associated with aspirations that we had professionally, and as well as allies, benefits, benefactors, anything that may aid future success. So that's a Jupiter house called the place of Jupiter, the Joy of Jupiter, and the house of the good spirits. So another thing about Jupiter you may not know is that triplicity rulerships in ancient astrology, it was a form of dignity that gave two rulerships, one by day and one by night, to signs of the same elements. So for example, all of the fire signs, you got Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius, were ruled by Jupiter in a nighttime chart and the sun in a daytime chart. So you had planets that would rule all three signs of the same element, one by day, one by night. So for example, the earth signs, if you are looking at the earth signs by night, the moon is the ruler of the earth signs by night, whereas Venus is the ruler of the earth signs by day. So these were called triplicity rulerships, and they connected two different rulers to all of the signs of the same elemental family. Well, what was the general meaning of these triplicity rulerships? Well, they often pointed you, the ruler of the triplicity ruler would often be someone that connected those houses the topics of those houses to some larger community or network of support, which you could count on to be a part of growth, development, support in time. So that when, what are the, by the way, the triplicities, how are they connected? Those elemental families of three signs, they're connected by trines, all three of them. And the trine is of the nature of Jupiter. And so the entire dignity concept of triplicities is in a sense Jupiterian and connected to this idea of larger bodies of support and things that gradually or developmentally receive support and grow in time. So again, why are we saying this? Hexagram 9 says this: the taming of small powers in time, success, thick clouds come from the west, no rain. This situation, the author translator says, symbolizes the preparation which precedes a new development, meaning things have to get to a point where they're growing and accumulating and being inspired and being sort of filled up with the airy, moist, fertile energies of Jupiter before, you know, the rain cloud bursts and things change dramatically. That's why you may not always experience any transit on the day of a transit, what to speak of a Jupiter-Neptune dynamic, which is often very gestational, developmental, presents opportunities and possibilities, but doesn't necessarily, you know, blow you away like that day or even that month or sometimes that year. So you have to take this long view where you're looking at what's growing in your life right now and thinking to yourself, this is something is changing. This is a new development, and it's a big one, but it doesn't mean it's all going to appear at once or that I'll understand all of it all at once. So here are the things to keep in mind. One, with Jupiter-Neptune, there are always going to be big developments, but they tend to be on the horizon. They're a little bit more like a dream, a hope, a wish, something we start moving towards, something that's developing, starting to come toward us, and it can give us hope and inspiration, but it's big developments often with the sense of them being on the horizon. Two, there's a sense with Jupiter-Neptune of help coming from above. Now, it could be the dove of the Holy Spirit descending, like we said a few minutes ago, or it could be people or some inner shift or resource, a therapist, I mean, whatever, someone or something that's coming into our life and providing us with some form of support. Remember the 11th house, the joy of Jupiter, was also a place that was called the house of the good spirit and a place of allies. Number three, help from allies, friends, or like-minded people who share similar dreams or aspirations. That's a very Jupiter-Neptune-like dynamic. Number four, remember this is a developmental energy, less likely it's a hit the jackpot kind of energy, not even on the day or within like the month. It's not like suddenly it's just going to start, you know, raining gold coins or something. It's more likely that, some important step in a process starts to unfold, the development on the horizon, the help, the assistance that starts streaming in. So, and remember, finally, Jupiter's a planet of opportunity, but you have to be prepared to take advantage of opportunity. They say something like success is nothing more than preparation in, you know, meeting opportunity or something like that. That's kind of true for Jupiter Neptune, as far as I can tell. Jupiter presents us with opportunities, but there's still choice involved. It's not just like, you know, oh, by the stroke of luck, I was struck by lightning and woke up with superpowers, or I pulled the slot machine and won a zillion dollars. It feels like opportunities, doorways opening that you have to step through and know that they take a while to gestate and develop, especially in a double-bodied feminine water sign, which by nature is more gestational. It's more about a sea change, a transition, a change of focus, something that's, ushering us into sort of a new season. Now, just to illustrate this a little bit more, I want to talk to you about five historical images from the past five Jupiter-Neptune conjunctions that basically support this little thesis. Before I do that, I want to see a little bit about what you guys are saying. I use that word today on the horizon when someone passed their exams at work for their future career aspirations. There you go. That's it. That is absolutely 100%. Let's see. Going on and seeing what else, what other stories you guys have been sharing here. Let's see. Glad that it's resonating for some of you leaving comments for me about that. Really appreciate it. People are still, I love this one. I just feel like dancing. Just do it. Just do it. Nice. Let's see here. Looking up. This is a fun one. Jennifer says, been looking for a lift chair for my folks for last 2 weeks, and they were gifted one yesterday. That is growing. Lynn says, also, I've stopped smoking weed after 15 years of being a chronic smoker. I've been wanting to quit this habit addiction for the longest time, but had not the power to do so. Yeah, it's amazing how that even that like that sense of finally gradually gaining the momentum or the willpower or the resources to, you know, quit smoking or leave an addiction behind or something like that. This one's interesting. I made a magic wand from a piece of driftwood my niece had fashioned into a toy for my cat, glued a crystal on the end of it, and annotated it with cottonwood salve I make myself. Smells divine. Wonderful. That's really cool. Let's see here. Let's go on. I see a lot of people mentioning that there was some kind of shooting this morning. I'm not aware of that, so I wouldn't be able to, without knowing exactly what happened, to say much. One thing that, by the way, I mean, if you want my opinion on why that might be like a co-present type of event today, because I see a lot of people asking that, like that to me, that would be an expression of the sun moving into a square with Pluto right now. Exalted sun in Aries, the, you know, Mars ruled sign, walking into a square with Pluto, which is, you know, within 5 degrees right now. So that would probably be the most likely explanation for that. Mars, Saturn is still, it's separating. It's still close-ish, but Mars, Saturn, along with Sun squaring Pluto is probably, if there was, you know, some kind of big shooting. I mean, it's kind of like, it feels to me like there's one of those every day now. I don't mean to be cynical, but I don't know exactly what's happening there, but I love this comment from Andrea, who says, literally looking out at the ocean at weather approaching, but no rain. That's awesome. That's really cool. Got the word today. My cancer chemotherapy has done its job, and I'm moving on to immunotherapy follow-up. John, congratulations. That must be a big relief, and that is such a Jupiter-Neptune. Like, you know, there's a feeling of the rain falling. You know, that is just wonderful. Okay, so let's talk about five historical images from the past five Jupiter-Neptune conjunctions. Jupiter-Neptune in Aquarius, spring of 2009. UNESCO launches the World Digital Library, and the space shuttle Atlantis refurbishes the Hubble Space Telescope. There is an incredible connection, by the way, with the space program in the United States and Jupiter-Neptune dynamics. I will just say that. But what I found interesting about this is you have a lot of things launching, the idea of something launching and start taking off. So it's like this sense of something that's has a future trajectory, has a horizon that it's heading toward. There's this sense of expanding out into space, opening up space, something that's on the horizon or moving toward the horizon. You get that feeling with Jupiter Neptune. Here's the launching of the World Digital Library, launching at the same time that the space shuttle Atlantis is going out and fixing a telescope that is what meant to do what? Expand our horizons into space. So really, these are just, I'm cherry picking, right? But just to give examples that I think are relevant, Jupiter, Neptune, and Capricorn in January of 1997, before that, was the first production electric car of the modern era was launched and available for lease by GM. So there's this launching of a new technology, a new frontier that's expanding, but it's just at that early stage of changing the dynamic. So it doesn't necessarily, Jupiter Neptune will open up a new world, but it's like, it's going to take a while. You can, just because you can see something new in the distance doesn't mean that you're there yet. And so this idea, again, of like big developments rolling in, a sense of future omens that, you know, sparkle and shine a little ominously, a little excitement, but there's something new like rolling in. That's Jupiter Neptune in Capricorn in January 1984. At that time in the United States, Ronald Reagan announces the development of the International Space Station. So there's this, again, this idea of now we're starting something, we're developing an international space station. And astronauts at the same time made the first untethered spacewalk. So again, something that's untethered, that's expanding, that's open, that's defying boundaries. But it's just the beginning of it. It's just the beginning of some new era opening up. These are especially true for conjunctions. Jupiter, Neptune, and Sagittarius in January of 1971, Apollo 14 lands on the moon, NASDAQ is formed, and Satchel Paige became the first Black player voted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. These are milestones that start opening things up further. That Apollo 14 mission was an important development in the ongoing exploration of the moon and space. NASDAQ is formed. That's the beginning of a major development in, like, the, you know, sort of the world economic scene. So some of these things are, you know, it's just really impressive to see what new things are sort of slowly expanding or coming in and changing the consciousness, changing the standard. This is another one that's interesting. If you go back to Jupiter and Neptune in Scorpio, a conjunction in 1958 in September, NASA started operations. So there's the space program beginning. And the University of New Orleans began classes as the first racially integrated public university in the South. So just anything, whether it's culturally or it's like, hey, we're evolving in some way collectively. We're becoming more enlightened, or we're exploring outer space. All of this idea of, like, redeeming, hopeful things that have been stuck and developing for a while, and then suddenly there's a breakthrough. It's not the end of the story, but it's important development. It's not, well, there's nowhere else left to go. Everything is perfect. I won the jackpot. No, it's like some sea change is happening, and it gives us hope, and it keeps us going, and it pushes us forward again. That tends to be the way that Jupiter and Neptune work. So I am really happy now with just in some closing minutes here. I would love to, again, just pop over and see what kind of stories you guys have about this transit. Hopefully you found this interesting today, talking about the I Ching, some historical dimensions to the transit. I want to hear a little bit more of your stories. I think I'll be doing a grabbed episode this week. By the way, if you ever have stories you want to share, you can always use the hashtag grabbed. And with you, in using that hashtag, you can always share a story from your own life about the transit. So use the hashtag grabbed in the comments section, or email grabbed at nightlightastrology.com. The most awkward but fun hashtag in the astrological universe. The planets were called grahas. They were called grabbers. It's really interesting to see the way that they show up and grab or seize our consciousness. And then, because of astrology, thank God, we can reflect upon it and learn from it. So use that hashtag and tell me, tell me your story. I'd love to be putting together an episode. Maybe I kind of want to give it a little bit more time to play out. So maybe I'll do a grabbed episode next week. But aggregating some really good stories. Constanza says, my moon is on my ascendant in Pisces, 23 degrees. I'm feeling much peace inside myself. That's wonderful. Lily Anna says, this is the kind of friends I need, guys. Oh, that's good to hear. Interesting. All right. I'm moving down to see what else you guys are sharing. NASDAQ on Jupiter Neptune. No kidding. Yeah. Right? Isn't that fun? Let's see here. My everyday meditation practice spontaneously became longer in this time. That is wonderful. Then you know your practice is working when it starts giving you a gift. That's just fantastic. And keep it up. That's really great. I love hearing that story. For me as a daily meditator is really sweet. The last Jupiter-Neptune conjunction is when I went to a life-changing retreat and when I started studying astrology, Jennifer says. That's fantastic. Melissa says, I woke up yesterday morning right after a voice said, it's time for joy again. Go play. Taurus rising. There's your 11th house placement of Jupiter, Neptune. That's wonderful. Really cool. Airbnb guests have been checking into non-existing apartments just to funnel money to Ukrainians. Wonderful. Yeah, I heard that story, actually. That's an interesting example of the transit for sure. Danny says, I just booked a really big show in Ann Arbor this morning. I've been working so hard on the music scene. Transit in the 8th. Nice. So you find that, you know, that it's a good referral or someone saying, hey, I want to, you know, give you something or help you with something. That's a great place to have it. This one's a little heavy, but it's a good story. Infinite Faith 8 said, my daughter's abusive husband shot himself. This is in her 8th house. She's free. That's so heavy, so intense. I have to like take that in a little bit, but that's really intense. And I mean, if that's how she feels, you know, I'm sure it must be a very complicated process of like grieving and processing something like that. But wow. I mean, what can you even say? That is a very interesting expression of Jupiter Neptune. I haven't heard something like that quite like that before. Hey, thanks, Jackie. Appreciate it. Let's see. Looking at all you guys are sharing, loving it. Let's see. I've been stressed out and was invited to travel to the mountains. This trip has been spiritually healing and is a much needed reminder of how beautiful nature can be. Oh, that's wonderful. The Pisces rising. Love it. Cool. So I'm now going to do two chart examples. And hopefully for those of you who study at home, it will be helpful to see me, demonstrate how to, you know, read a transit like this, even if it's just briefly. But if you'd like to share, go ahead and put your name, the time, date, and location of your birth into the chat box. And I'll just probably pick a few here. I'm going to try to wrap up somewhat quickly. We're at 42 minutes in already. I don't want to make this too long. Yesterday's was pretty long as well. Okay, let's go to... All right. Sassy's Yoga and Astrology. I like that name. I thought that name captured my, that was fun. All right. So Sass, we're just going to call you Sassy. And July 7th, 1986, 3:17 p.m. in Idaho Falls. And let me just put it over to whole sign houses. Make sure I've got it right. July 7th, 1986. Okay, there we go. So, Sassy, we'll take a look now. And here, the Jupiter Neptune conjunction for you is Scorpio rising. And I'm going to go ahead and it's a Jupiter return for you. Oops. Here we go. It's a Jupiter return for you. There it is. So Jupiter is pretty much right on your natal Jupiter. There's a few things that I do right away that I would recommend doing when you're reading transits or charts. First is with a conjunction like this, take a look and see if it's conjoining anything in the natal chart. And here it is, Jupiter, which is a pretty big deal. Then look to the squares and opposition. Anything at 23 Gemini, that's where I'm kind of imagining Jupiter Neptune conjoining at about 23 degrees. No, anything at about 23 Sagittarius? Well, Uranus is sort of close, but not exact. And then anything at 23 Virgo? And the answer is no. So we, in terms of like the pecking order here, I'm looking at this and saying, look, the biggest thing here is the conjunction with Jupiter. Then I want to look and see, well, which houses does Jupiter rule? Well, obviously it rules the 5th. Jupiter's in its own domicile in Sassy's chart. And then it also rules the 2nd, which is where Uranus is as well. So a couple of things come to mind. Fifth and second house topics, maybe with a little bit of a Jupiter-Uranus twist, especially Jupiter, the Jupiter conjunction itself. When I look at this, I think to myself, okay, you know, 1986, kind of get a feel for what where the person is at in life. Could there be a major change happening here with regard to parenting or children, for example? Could you be having another child or having a child? That would be a possibility. The other thing that could happen would be anything involving the arts, romance, if you have children, anything about your relationship with your children could be featured as well. It would probably be something uplifting, given that Jupiter's well dignified. You think of this house as the house of good fortune. You're thinking about good things coming in around Venusian topics. It could include pregnancy and children, but Venusian topics sort of preside in the fifth house, which was called the joy of Venus in the house of good fortune. So you're talking about pleasure, romance, beauty, creativity, the arts, those kinds of themes, and joy, and what we need in order to experience joy, creative fulfillment. Now, with the square to Neptune, I wonder if there are some creative risks, or if you're pursuing some creative dimension of your life, if there's some opening happening there right now. Maybe it's connected to something like business or money or something entrepreneurial. And I say that because Jupiter does have a connection by rulership over your second house. And so you always explore the ruler of the house for the topics of the house. So could we be seeing some expansion of a business, or, you know, even launching of a business, or even the inspiration to do something that eventually leads to a business? Remember that sense of something being on the horizon. It would fill you with joy. It would be creatively fulfilling. It would feel like, you know, your creative baby in the fifth house, but the inspiration to do it is there. I wonder, because this transit is also connected by virtue of a trine to your moon in Cancer in the ninth house, if this isn't also connected to something spiritual, something religious, something even connected to something like, well, yoga and astrology, Sassy's yoga and astrology, you know? So the ninth house moon and sun in Cancer would suggest that there's a pretty big emphasis on ninth house topics in your life. This Jupiter-Neptune conjunction in the fifth house, a place associated with the joy of one's dharma, could it be connecting you to a deeper sense of happiness or joy in relation to your love of ninth house topics like religion and spirituality, education, things like that? So I could see somebody starting their astrology practice, or, you know, taking a new yoga teacher training and getting a new certification or something like that. But I think the potential that it's about joy, creative fulfillment, ninth house matters, and then simultaneously some connection to business, money, entrepreneurial things. That's what I'm feeling from this. But of course, I'd have to, we'd have to talk and really dive into it for me to be not just, you know, shooting darts in the dark here. But thank you, Sassy. That was really cool. We'll do one more for today, and then I'm going to log off. And we'll wrap up, but that was really cool and fun to just like, it's fun to break open charts. I feel like it gives some reminder of how, you know, this all boils down at the end of the day to where does it land in my chart and how am I actually experiencing it, you know? So let me scroll down here a little bit. Okay, KB. I just picked the one I saw at the bottom there. And KB is coming, looks like born in Denison, Texas. So KB, thank you. It is March 26th, 1988 at 5:15 p.m. in Denison, Texas. By the way, if people want to, you know, if you're like, hey, I'd like to have a reading, you can always check out my readings and my courses at nightlightastrology.com. I do have a 1-year wait when it comes to my natal readings. So I'm really sorry about that. I'm really happy to be busy, but I hate making people wait that long. But that's my current wait time. But you know, there's lots of fun things to talk about next year at this time. There's always fun astrology to talk about. So I always tell people that. Maybe that helps the wait. I don't know. But in the meantime, let's go to KB's chart. So I'm going to go back over here And put, I'm going to put the chart up on the screen now, if I can get the chart. There we go. So, okay, so let's go ahead and highlight it. This is happening right on top of your north node in the seventh house, KB. That's interesting. Let's go ahead and do the same little exercise here. Do we see it conjoining anything? Yes, the north node. Do we see it opposing anything? Yeah, you could say it's opposing the south node. I'd rather see it opposing a planet if I were going to make a big deal of it. Not squaring anything in Gemini at 23 degrees, not squaring anything in Sag at 23. Let's look at the trines, nothing. And, you know, kind of trining the moon in the 11th house. That's interesting. So let's, it's funny how that's a similar pattern to the last chart that we just did too. All right, so we're gonna say the trine to the moon, and we're going to focus on the conjunction to the north node. Now, these are all things in terms of reading charts, delineating charts, coming up with strategies for how to organize your thoughts. These are all things we cover in my classes as well. I'd love to see some of you guys in my new classes. Those are coming up in June. So don't forget that you can, you know, you can check those out on my website. And the new class, the first year new program, starts on June 5th. So there's a typo there I need to fix, I think. Anyway. All right, so KB, with the conjunction to the north node in the seventh house, first of all, the emphasis is likely to be on things developing and growing, horizons opening in the area of love and relationships, sexuality, intimacy. The seventh house was also called the setting place and the place of conclusion. So is it possible that there's a sea change that's happening because something is reaching a state of sort of divine perfection? It's by perfection, like in the astrological sense, like something coming together and completing itself, some ending that ushers in a new era. That would be another possibility for the seventh that's not as focused on love and relationships. I think love and relationships is most probable. One thing to be a little bit careful of, depending on which tradition you look at, Rahu in the Indian tradition could be like a little lusty, like a little unable to be satiated. So Jupiter, Neptune, along with the North Node in the seventh house, could produce that feeling of divine discontent and longing and sort of restlessness around sex, love, marriage, etc. And that may be, you're sort of a little bit of a buyer beware in terms of like completely losing your mind and going gaga over someone right now. But I think, like, you know, at the same time, I don't want to suggest that there's not a romantic, uplifting, expansive, you know, kind of opening here around love and relationships, but just a little bit of a beware with Rahu, or even the North Node in ancient Hellenistic astrology tended to amplify things and make them grow, but for better or worse. Like a tumor can grow, and that's not necessarily good. The North Node points to things growing and proliferating, but not always for the, you know, in the best way. The reason I say that is you do have a fallen Mercury in that house, which means, you know, sometimes the discernment or the like critical, logical, rational faculty is going to, you know, be in service of Venus and Jupiter and water, and all of which can be very artistic and sort of otherworldly, very inspired, very, you know, like emotion. I think of emotional intelligence when I think of Mercury in Pisces, or kind of artistic intellect or something like that. But you do have to be a little bit careful of almost like a boundaryless rose-colored glasses thing going on here, just a little bit because of Rahu and a fallen Mercury, I would say. Then, okay, but that aside, let's hope for all the best. And then look at the trine to the moon in the 11th house, a place of groups, family, with the moon in the 11th, groups and family, groups that are like family, collectives. You know, I always think of that question, who are my people, with the moon in the 11th house? Is there some way in which both intimate relationships and the broader social dimension of your life are in communication with one another, not only right now, but in, say, the next year or two? Could there be meaningful partnerships opening up? Living in an art collective with people comes to mind, or finding some new spiritual community or some new sense of home. Marriage and family come to my mind as well with this transit, because it's hitting the moon, and it's a very fertile moon, you could say, in a water sign. So, you know, things growing around family and relationships and love, but also community and meaningful partnerings with imagination and sort of an emotional feeling of connection. Those are the kinds of images that I'm getting in your chart right now. So I hope that is useful for you. Just a few thoughts. I can't do like a full reading, so it's a little bit incomplete, but just some things to think about, and also giving people a template to use when you go to look at your own chart. You know, look at the house, look at the big aspects. Don't focus on too many things. Try to synthesize just a few of the most core details of where it's falling, what it's conjoining, what it's trining or making an aspect to, and just add those themes together, and you'll often get right to the core of what the transit is about. So anyway, I hope that's helpful for everybody. Don't forget, if you enjoy my work, please like and subscribe. That helps the channel grow. I'm really trying to make an effort this year to grow the channel a little bit more. I feel like so many people could benefit from the spiritual dimension of astrology. And, obviously as a business owner, I'm always trying to grow my work as well. It's never usually like my top focus. I'm always more focused on the content and so forth. I'm also trying to be a little bit more deliberate about growing the channel. So if you like it, you can help me do that by liking, subscribing, sharing your comments, and click the notification bell for updates when I go live. Much appreciated. Don't forget, share your stories about this transit. Use the hashtag grabbed. Really appreciate hearing from you guys. And I look forward to more content tomorrow. So until then, I hope you guys have a beautiful day with Jupiter Neptune, and look forward to more astrology as the week goes on. Take care, everyone. Bye.